Yeah. So, hello on this beautiful day. Well, it's beautiful here, and I send the beauty to all of you. October the 20th, we are now into the rich colors of autumn and the lovely, lovely fresh air. Cool evenings and moist, I don't know, just yummy mornings. I couldn't think of a better word than yummy. Okay, well, I'm glad you're here. I love to see all the familiar names, and I love seeing people on our board whose numbers and names I don't remember from the past. So that means we're growing as a community. And tell your friends, tell your family, because we're always free, and we're always free from prejudice. You're welcome, no matter what your religious beliefs are, no matter what your orientation in life is, or your joys or your troubles may be. We all bring them because we're human, and the rich variety of humanness is a smorgasbord. It's something to look at and say, oh my, 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 what can we do next? We have an endless opportunity to create the life we want. And that's why we come here, is to help you create the life you want within the grace of God, within the loving fellowship of your fellow humans, and the gracious support we get from the world of nature. So we take all of these things into our heart, and we embrace them with love and respect. So, hello, Nancy. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. I think what you're saying is so great, especially it makes you think of nature and life. Yesterday or tomorrow is Leo's 30th birthday, and for his wish, he wanted all of us to do a family camp out. So I just got home from a camping with three little grandkids in my tent, and we had this top open and we could see the moon. It was like a, honestly, it was like a big night light. It was so
Oh,
bright
that's
last
great.
night. But it's just incredible, that level of intelligence, life, and that experience. And I'm so glad you mentioned tying it to nature. And I'm doing great. I'm just happy that to be alive and to continue to get to experience life and love. And I'm very excited about today's lesson
Amen.
because it just builds so much on unity, on that first foundation, and it all makes so much sense. It's so brilliant, and just very excited to hear our sharing today. So I'm happy to be
Oh,
here. So glad.
me too, and we are happy to be here with you. Before we go any further, I have a sad note to bring up, but it's also a tribute and honor to someone we loved a lot.
More.
I have been missing for quite some months and wondering what was going on with our beautiful, lovable Eva Hershey. She passed to the higher realm on July the 6th of 2024. I didn't know because she had gone into assisted living and I had no contact information for her, but I received an email today from her daughter asking for a blessing for her. She was memorialized shortly after her passing, and her family did what was necessary to straighten up her affairs and effects in life and get on with living. I know that Eva would love the subject we're going to touch on today, so I think maybe she had something to do with her daughter calling me today, well, emailing me today, because we're going to talk about the third intelligence of the heart, which is life. Eva loved life, and she always would refer back to the importance of love in finding and living the life you want. So, Eva, this one's for you today. and we will remember you. In our blessing today, with full hearts and rich blessings. For all that you gave your community, your friends, your family, and your beloved husband, who was so, so dear to you, Charlie, through the years of your life and all the years I knew you. God bless you. And I know he is glad to have you home. We worried about you suffering in the last couple of years of your life, and we prayed for you, and it looks like God just wanted to take care of you personally. So, thank goodness, you're in good hands now, and we remember you fondly. Okay, well, Nancy, I just wanted to say that, so in case any of you are wondering, and now you know. So, you can still, I'm sure you can still talk to her. You know, I talk to a lot of our blessing givers that if she was a blessing giver, she was a minister. She was a priest in the church. So, Eva has been an influence in our church for a couple of decades. Just a really, really lovely, loving presence. And we're glad to have her home. Look forward to being with you again someday. Not tomorrow, but someday.
And I know no more physical struggles. Yeah.
That's right. Okay, well, Nancy, we're glad to hear that you had a wonderful time with your family. And we're going to use that as a touchstone for moving into our study today. For those of you who are new, or maybe you haven't been here for a while, we have begun doing a little study time from Love Without End during the initial part of our blessing. And the major reason is we're doing this, well, out of respect for Yeshua. Because what we were hearing up to this point was me talking, and I hope I'm a voice of enlightenment for you, but still, I'm human, and with somewhat limited viewpoints, his are unlimited. And then we were taking requests for blessings, so we were listening to Troubles of the World. And I thought, well, you know, let's just turn this around. Let's hear from him first. And then we hear from our congregation. And then we finally close on a few words from me with guidance into our blessing. Well, so far, everybody has loved that little turnaround that we made. It's still the same blessing call. Still the same joy, love, and offering ever. But we're just kind of reversing the process a little bit. Do you like this, Nancy?
I do, and I love that we can send our blessing requests in advance, and it's just we're all connected with that throughout the week. I think it's been wonderful, and I think that's the feedback I'm getting too. So I hope it's been a blessing to everybody, and it's just getting us back to the message so that we can apply it in life. And really, especially now where, you know, people are tense about life. And so, we need to be joyous and know we have that he isn't there. God's going to have it all taken care of. It's okay.
Oh, it's in his hands.
We can trust the power of our creator and the love there. So I just love that we're, you know, reinforcing, fortifying, deepening the message, because it's so important now. And it's always been important.
Oh,
but boy, when you get to live it,
it's always been important. But, you know, we can get pretty tense sometimes. I have to admit, I had a situation I won't describe it, a situation approaching that was making me really pretty nervous. And I wasn't sleeping well. I had a little unusual state of anxiety and worry and not focusing so well. And it actually even affected my health and my ability to strongly engage with physical therapy, which is doing so much good for me these days. And I thought, I kept telling myself, well, God's not going to let me down. He called me to this work, and, you know, he'll keep me going. As long as he needs me, as long as I'm serving him, he'll take care of me. But sometimes it's not enough to calm our human nerves. So I got a call this morning from a very dear friend, and she said, I've got what you need. I've got the answer. I know exactly what we're going to do. And my first thought was to look up at the one who knew all along, and I just said to him, you knew all along, didn't you? And I felt so silly. But at the same time, I didn't feel guilty either, because I think that we are here to experience and perfect the human side of our existence. Only yeah. through that can we really cultivate empathy and sympathy and correction and adjustments for improving the human condition. We have to learn to live together, support one another, love one another, and love God enough to know in the end, He's got the plan all worked out. So I think it's part of our humanness to worry a little bit. We just need to call up our faith to not let our worries push us over, because it's our faith that actually calls in the miracle. God will not betray our faith. Will not.
Never.
Will not betray our faith. And so when your faith is strong enough, you've already got it in the bag. You may still have to walk through the problem because you're here to learn, but you've got the results in the bag. So I just want to say that with a lot of emphasis, because I just went through that. So I'm sharing it with you. Yeah. But, you know,
that part of that dimension of respect, I just think you just gave us a nice entry into that one. And we're going to probably get to that because that's so relevant to what he said in, you know, the message today. So I love that.
Exactly. Okay. Well, we're going to talk about two dimensions of the Sacred Heart. Today, we're going to talk about life, and we're going to talk about respect. And life is going to be pretty simple, direct, and easy for us because we spent so much time on love, which needed to be. It's the core of our being. It's the core of everyone's being, even if they're acting like jackasses. I'm sorry if that sounded crude, but even if they're misbehaving, that's a little better word. The core of their being is love. And if you can dig deep enough and reach in far enough and find it, you can change situations in a miraculous way, because love is what everything was created from. It's like the pie crust in which the filling is poured. And it's there. It may be at the rim of someone's existence, but it's there. And knowing that helps us to have courage and tolerance and apply a little bit of intelligence to how we get along with one another. Yeshua told us to love one another. to love our neighbor as ourselves. That means with empathy. That's literally what it means, because when you can love another as yourself, that is the definition of empathy. So learn to love with empathy, to see what anyone else is suffering or going through with a challenge, whatever. It could happen to you. We're all human. What happens to another could happen to you. It could. And you can say, oh, no, it never would be. You could be, no, I'm not going to even put it there. I don't even want to put verbal there. We'll leave it at that, okay?
Yeah.
But love doesn't just stay in the ivory tower. It doesn't just stay in the heart of God. It doesn't just stay in our heart. For love to do its thing in the world, for it to achieve what it was created to achieve, it has to go into action. It's got to do something. It's got to create something. It's got to unfold its beautiful nature somehow in action. Have you ever known people who've got all kinds of good platitudes, idealistic thoughts, but they don't do anything with them? You ask them, well, but what have you done with that? And, and we'll just get back to more platitudes. That's not life, my friends. Life is love in action. Yeshua gave us the definition. It's right there. Life is love in action. And I'm reading from him in the book right now. It is the hope of life to have meaningful experience, happiness, fulfillment, and continuity. Life has indwelling intelligence. Follow life, serve the living, and fulfill your love by following the pathways that life is revealing to you. There is great wisdom in that simple process. This is why I told my disciples to follow life and let the dead bury the dead. Dwelling on old mistakes is very costly. Life in the living will light your way and unfold your future. Instead of watching life through a rearview mirror, look before you and behold the current possibilities with innocent perception. In practicing this, you will cultivate the inborn intelligence of how life works and how the love that you are can foster better involvements with it. Forgive yourself and others, for yesterday has already been lived. That is what I meant by the dead. Be here now and face the path in front of you, for that is where life is. Regard the present moment as sacred. In this, you will find answers to many problems that have baffled you. Respect life in all its ways as an unfolding of experience. Life is not behind you. It's in front of you. It is not history or a memory. Life is that which is birthing before your very eyes. Know that. And your intelligence will become a dynamic force rather than a staggering body of knowledge with formulas for mortal structure. I'm continuing his words. Regard the present moment as sacred. In this, you will find answers to many problems that have baffled you. Respect life in all its ways as an unfolding of experience. Life is not behind you, it's in front of you. It is not history or a memory. know that, and your intelligence will become a dynamic force rather than a staggering body of knowledge with formulas for mortal structure. Yes, my friends, sometimes structures were built by love. For example, the organic cellular structures of your body were to make sure that all of the functions of the liver are done by the organ of the liver, and the kidney does not try to get involved. We have structures in our social organization that we want to keep there because we want people who are good at certain things to do those jobs. But it doesn't mean that we cannot reach beyond the structures of our designated performance, because our designated performance may be good in one way today, and it may have to change tomorrow. I was talking with someone who is a very dear friend of mine, whose wife has been a teacher for 25 years. She wasn't there, so we were talking about her workload and the fact that she's getting ready to retire because she doesn't like all the changes she's been in the teaching profession in 25 years. And he was telling me about how different it is today. Well, you know, my friends, it needed to change. It did, because today our kids have computers. They've got cell phones. They use them for computing math problems. It still doesn't mean they don't need to know the basics of math. But at the same time, we need to accommodate the tools they have now. The world is not the same as it was when I was in school. You know, when I first went to school, girls could not wear slacks or jeans or any kind of leg pants. None. It was not allowed. Oh, there were other things we couldn't do also. And then, of course, we were still deeply into the world of segregation, which was such a bad thing. But we had to change. And then we changed. A lot of information came in scientifically that caused our science classes to change. But not just that. We had to rethink the days and the hours of the week because when I was a child, we were still working on the primarily agricultural schedule where classes were out for 3 months because in the old days, kids went to work on the farm and we worked 5 days a week because we've got to cram in more classes in the week to accommodate a long holiday in the summer. Personally, I loved 3 months off, but still, you know, times do change and teachers have to accommodate that. And so we were talking about all the ways that structures have changed in the teaching profession. So when I talk about the mortality of structure, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking that some of it is very necessary. You know, we need to respect there's time for the teacher to talk and then time for the kids to participate. That's an important structure. It's very good in the body for us to know that certain of our body systems protect our immunity. Others make sure we get a good supply of blood so that we can be energetic and active. We have designated roles. We do in society, and we do also in the building of our homes. You know, we have the structures that hold the roof up, and others that conduct water into the house, the plumbing, and others that conduct energy, gas or electricity into the house for all the functions of energy. So yeah, structure is necessary and it's good as long as it serves us. But we have to be also flexible with it, because as love changes its direction, structure has to mold to it. And a sad story I can leave you with on that is I was born into a very historical small community that had been a hub for the wealthy ranchers in North Texas. And they had built Victorian homes that were like the model of homes in the movie Giant. They were gorgeous, gorgeous homes. And one after another in my girlhood would burn down because they refused to rewire the houses. It was old electrical circuitry and wiring, and they wouldn't change them. And they couldn't get proper heating and cooling because they wouldn't change that. And the plumbing, oh my goodness. Well, that's another problem. So structures are mortal. They have to change. Love doesn't change. It can grow. It can expand. And things we loved as a child could finish inspiring or leading us. And now we love something else. So yes, insofar as love comes from you, though, it doesn't change. Its source comes from you, or its source comes from others, or its source ultimately comes from God. The source of love is in the being who loves. But the application and directions of love can grow through our lives. And looping back to my conversation with my friend about his teaching wife, who will soon retire, he said, well, really, she doesn't love it anymore. And I'm thinking, oh, what a change that must be for her, because that was her life. And she not only loved it, she was one of the best that's ever been. I can't imagine that she wouldn't love it now. And he said, well, it's not that she doesn't love the memories of it. She just doesn't want to do any more adapting to stay with it. That makes sense to me. So, see, love moves into action. And action is life. What we want is to live our life. If her love for teaching wasn't willing to adapt anymore, then it wasn't going to be very lively for her. She wasn't going to experience much life in it. Okay? Have you ever grown tired of living in a certain place, even though you loved it at one point? Let's say at one point in time, you had family there, you had friends there, activities that you enjoyed. Maybe you used to love to ski and you were living in the mountains. Well, now you're 60 and you just hold up the big red no sign on the idea of skiing. And you don't like the cold, and your friends have moved away. Well, it's like, why am I here? You start thinking of the South and beaches. I don't blame you. You know, the thing is, life follows our love. And our love comes from us. It comes from within you. You want to figure out how to love someone? First of all, don't look at their actions. Their actions may be a product of frustration or impulse or just habit. You know, they do this every morning. They have the same coffee with latte. And so you think that's what they love. And you bring them a coffee with latte and they'll say, well, why should you do that? Well, because you do it every morning. And they say, yeah, but, you know, I'm tired of it. And you didn't hit the mark. Okay, the first thing is get to know them. Get to know them. get to know what they're interested in next. Okay? Just like Yeshua said in this quote, life is where you're going next. Life is what you're creating next. Let's just say you used to love a certain dessert. You don't love it anymore because it's not good for you, and you feel the after effects of eating it. You find something else you love. It's as simple as that. Life is what comes next. You know, we could get away with a lot of things in the dietary area. When we were young, we didn't have to watch our fats, we didn't have to watch our sweets, and or our salt, you know, chips by the bag. We have to watch that now. But it's okay, because we're doing what we need to do. We're doing what brings a better life for us. Life leads your love, and love empowers your life. That's your formula. Right there. Life leads your love, and love empowers your life. So if you want to love somebody a little more, look at where their life is going and help them go there with grace and beauty and love and excitement, joy, friends and happiness. And they'll say, oh, gee, boy, you know me, don't you? Uh-huh. You'll say, yeah, I do. I know you. And I love you dearly. So, when Yeshua walked upon the earth, I know that one of his great goals was to humanize the truth of God, to bring it down to a level that we could live and understand, which is why he became human. There's only one way to do it. I mean, he probably said to his Father in heaven, look, Dad, I could preach on a mountain, but it'll all come out from me sounding like I'm standing on a pink cloud telling people how to behave. There's only one way I can show them really what they're doing, and that's to become one of them. And he did. And in the end, he was tempted by many, many forces to bail out on that covenant, that promise, and say, look, you've got all the powers of the universe in your hand. Just skip out of here. You don't have to die. And he prayed about it. And his dad said, look, son, you ask for it. You got to fulfill the promise. You're human. But now, after you finish being human, you can show them what a soul can do. And that's exactly what happened. He went all the way through the story as a human, died on the cross, bled, suffered, and was put away. And he resurrected as a soul. And he's teaching us by example that life doesn't end. Because love never ends. By the way, that's how the book got its title. Was from understanding his ultimate gift to us. Love never ends. Love without end is his word. His promise. And I pass his promise on to you. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that Eva is more alive right now than she was 2 years ago, complaining about the pain in her back. I know she is. I feel it. I mean, I went directly into communion with her the minute I heard she had passed. I went, oh, thank God, she's out of pain. And I could just see her smiling. Such a lovely soul. Okay, well now, dimension number 4 is what we're going to take on next. And it's called respect. But I thought you might want to take just a 2 minute break to stretch, get some water, take a deep breath, and review what we said about love. Because these are really, really punchy comments and teachings from Yeshua. So let's just take a minute. Like I said, take a drink, take a deep breath, stretch your legs, and let's come back. Okay?
Okay, I'm here, Glenda.
Okay. Well, I'm here, ready to continue. Okay. Let us go into our next Intelligence of the Sacred Heart. Welcome back, everybody. Okay. The fourth dimension of intelligence within the heart is respect. And that follows after love, after life. All right. And let's just look at the sequence there. Let's feel into this instead of think into it. First, I want you to feel. All right. We have to respect the life of other people. Respect the life of nature. You could not live without it. You cannot live alone. We cannot live without one another. And living with another involves the three preceding levels of intelligence. To live together means that we have some respect for unity. You can't live together in division and construct anything worth having or creating. You can't live in chaos and have a peaceful, meaningful life. And how are you going to resolve that and apply it? Well, love is the answer, because love is the one common denominator we all have. We all love something or someone different. The applications of our love are not the same. They never will be. And so the answer to union is seek out those who can join you in your love, and you join them in their love. And that's a totally acceptable thing. It doesn't mean you're judging others who love differently. You know, there's some types of food I just will not eat, and I don't go into those restaurants. Doesn't mean that I don't respect the right of other people to have those foods. But we join in our love. That follows upon union. And then in our joining of love, well, we learn to manage. And part of that management involves respect. This is a word that has lost a great deal of meaning in our world today. Although, in the Orient, respect is still a very important dimension of honor. I had always considered respect to be an aspect of protocol. Therefore, I was very curious when he referred to it as a dimension of intelligence. Now, these are his words. It begins with respect for God, respect for yourself, respect for your brothers, and for all life forms. Respect is a point of honor, although it is a great deal more than that. Though we are one in spirit, each being is unique in love, purpose, and life. Unique qualities belong to each person and endow him with abilities, freedoms, and responsibilities that may not be present for another. Each person and every aspect of life is irreplaceable. What you do not bring to the earth, no one else will. Respect begins with knowing that you and your Creator have a covenant. And in that covenant are all the answers and resources you need to make your life work. Then you extend that right to others. This ultimately leads to respect for divine order, which is the highest intelligence. Knowing this will give you strength to release your worries. Most of what you worry about never happens. A certain part of your trials must be accepted. The remaining part that you might wish to change will require focus and resolve, which you will not possess if you spend all your time worrying. Composure comes from respect for divine order. Don't complain, for that is disrespect. Don't wallow in self-pity, for that is disrespect of self. Why should a child of God feel sorry for himself? This is the essence of denial. And in so denying, do you see how disempowerment occurs in your life? Through respect for divine order, patience is cultivated. This brings knowledge of proper timing. In that is great intelligence. Often other issues and other needs have to be worked out before your plans can unfold, before your place can be set at the table. By respecting all things, and most especially divine order, you will attain peace and patience. Through this, you will be directed to the most efficient use of your life, so that you can experience self-respect to the fullest. The greatest act of self-respect is to honor the Sacred Heart as the seat of your covenant with God and your access to higher intelligence. So, we want to talk about that just a little bit. And I think that one of the things we need to touch back on, and most of us need a little bit of counseling on, even I did in my seventh decade, I had to go over and counsel myself on this. How many things did I do in life because someone else told me that's what I should do? Now, that advice could have been excellent advice for any number of people, but it really wasn't the best advice for me because I didn't have the talent for it. I didn't have the patience for it. And I would experience failures along the way, lots of time and energy wasted trying to make up for something I wasn't meant to do. And lots of self-confidence wasted on, why am I always failing at this? I don't get it. Boy, God must have created me on a bad day. How many of you have ever felt like that to even the tiniest degree about your life? Okay, if your answer is yes, then you have a self-respect issue, and it doesn't come from you. It comes from you trying to be who you're not. But now, there's a really, I hate to use the word bad, because people take it so many harsh and ways I don't mean. Okay, so I'm going to work around using the bad, but there are so many people who actually succeeded doing what they were told they should do, that they had no real ability to do. And they're in places of high influence with the lives of other people in their hands. And Yeshua calls this condition a perfect example of what an ego is. It's who you're being when you're really proud of what you're not. You're not being the love that you are. You're trying really hard to be something you're not, that you have no gift or ability to be, but you've kind of been manipulated into that position because other people kind of want you to be. You're fulfilling their desires, their hopes, what they would want you to be. We have lots of breakdowns in families because of generational disagreements over exactly what I'm talking about. We have lots of breaches of honor in our culture over exactly what I'm talking about. And Yeshua calls it surrogate power. It's power that belongs to really a non-entity, someone who's not who they really were supposed to be, someone who's taking power in the wrong direction, in the wrong way, and even if their goals are ideal, they'll do the wrong thing with it. They'll always do the wrong thing with it because they're off track. This starts with understanding in your childhood that you know exactly what you're supposed to be, who you are, and don't be argued out of it. So many times when I've been in counseling with a person, and I used to do a lot of personal counseling when I was in the early days because of this work, also because I was married to a professional psychologist, and he would back me up and teach me how to do certain things I needed to do. But anyway, that was a long time ago. But one of the things that I found would work the best is taking people back to their childhood and asking them a simple question from innocent perception. What did you like doing the most when you were a kid? And how could you imagine still doing that as an adult? Sometimes it took them to tears. Absolutely, face in their hands, crying, to realize what they loved then and who they were then. Fortunately, I stuck with it. Well, and that doesn't mean I wasn't challenged along the way, because I was very challenged along the way. I told my mother when I was 3 years old that I said I'm an artist. That's what I came to be in my life. And she says, okay, I'll help you be an artist. But she was kind of tongue in cheek at that time because I thought she just kind of thought I was being a kid. But she did know I had talent, so she wasn't completely tongue in cheek, but you know, she got me art classes, and I was good. I always got A's in school and anything to do with art. But there were other people who told me, said, Glenda, you're brilliant. Why are you going to waste your time being an artist? I said, well, you know, that's my talent. I thought we were supposed to use our talent. And they would come back at me and say, well, your mind is a talent, too. Use that. And I said, well, can't I use that as an artist? So I always stick to my story, and I find a way to stick to my story. but I don't want to make this. Oh, yeah, one more thing. About when I was about 7, I went to my mother and I said, Mom, what is a philosopher? And she said, where'd you get that word? And I said, from my brother and my sister. They were much older. They were in college by the time I was 7 years old. And I said, they were talking about philosophy and philosophers. Who was they? I just wanted to know. And she said, well, those are people who think about life and really study life in its many dimensions and tell us how to live better and understand our life better and plan our life better. And I said, oh, good. Well, that's what I am. I'm a philosopher. And she laughed. I mean, she had a belly laugh on that one. She thought I was just being a silly kid. Little did she know. But the thing is, what I'm trying to tell you is that these things do come to you. Oh, I've been challenged. Oh, my goodness. On everything. I don't want to go into all of that. But the thing is, when you know what you know, you stick to it. And you just stick to it because you don't, when you're really, really doing what you're supposed to do, you don't care if you don't get rich at it. You don't care because you're already rich doing what you want to do. You don't care if everybody in the world thinks you're doing the best thing with your life. Because you know you are. And that's where your respect comes from. And that comes from your union with God. Respect of God is the beginning of wisdom. And I want to go back to a quote in the Bible that has been probably most misunderstood word in the history of our Bible. It is, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it was taken to be, we're supposed to run from the tongue of fire that could burn our souls up if we were disobedient. Well, I suppose that could be true, but that's not what that passage meant. It actually meant honor. It meant honor, which in the ancient translated into the ancient Hebrew word, it would mean honor. And then, as the Bible was translated into later Hebrew, it meant respect. And then converted back into Greek, which the whole Bible was translated into, it went back to the word honor. And to this day, in the Greek Bible, it is honor. But for some reason, and I let you guess what it is, our European autocracies, empires and autocratic governments really like to position themselves with the word fear because they use compliance with religion as an instigation of fear. They found it very beneficial for motivating people to comply with the law. Well, I'm certainly in favor with compliance to the law. I'm not going to argue with that at all. But not all human laws are fair. Some human laws have to be revised. You know, we've had some pretty stupid human laws in the history of humanity and very inhumane laws, such as those pertaining to slavery and indentured servitude. And other foul ideas similar to that. But getting back to respect of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I just want you to use that from now on, because that will take you into this level of intelligence. And I would like to suggest, sometimes when you think you've got a little extra time to study and just a few dollars to invest in it, enroll into my webinar called The 12 Laws of the Universe That Always Work. These are the 12 fundamental laws that science and religion agree on. Nobody with any good sense will disagree on these 12 laws. It's important for anybody living and growing up to be a functional, successful adult to know these 12 laws. And the other thing you need to know is that obeying these laws is considered by God to be respect. The next thing you need to know that will help you figure out right from wrong faster than any calculator could ever be. And that's a simple, simple understanding that God does not break his own laws. He doesn't. He doesn't break his own laws. He can suspend them at his pleasure, such as separating the Dead Sea. But the minute the Hebrews had passed through, those waters rejoined. His law is never broken. He can apply a miracle in the suspension of his laws. But don't test him by living dangerously, thinking, oh, well, you know, it doesn't matter if I break his laws, his dietary laws. It doesn't matter if I smoke like a chimney. You know, he'll save me. Don't test him. He can suspend his laws at his pleasure, not at your pleasure, at his pleasure. He can suspend them, but he never breaks them. Never. Never, never, never. So if you're looking at something which is a break in his law, don't do it. Don't do it. And in fact, your respect of that law will be the greatest likelihood you have for him suspending that law temporarily in your favor. And he will and can do it. He's in charge of everything. But suspending a law and breaking it are two different things. And you cannot suspend it. No one can. You can postpone it in action. Yeshua came here to teach us this. And most, I would say 9 out of 10 of his stories and teachings had something to do with some law. You know, what you sow, you shall reap. That's a law. You're not going to reap something you didn't sow. You know, if you are patient in the service of God, you will be served and honored. Just read everything you said. It's all about the laws of the universe. Is there karma? Well, it all depends upon what kind of human twist we put on karma. If we're talking about evolving from a beetle to a human, no. No. The laws of nature are what they are, my friends. And I would rather trust science on that. But are there laws about cause and effect? Absolutely. For every cause, there's an equal and opposite effect. Every, it's there. Do you need to manage a budget? Yes, you do. Do you need to earn your living? Yes, you do. Do you need to figure out a way to be of service to one another? Yes, you do. Those are laws of the universe. They're not written in the statute books of a culture or a country. And they're way above a culture or a country because our universe is ordained by God to function as it does, becoming what he ordained it to be. And how do we apply this? I'd like to take this one step further because this has more intelligence than I think you're going to think it has on first take. We can go really, really deep on this. And I'm just going to take one more excursion about how respect applies to God's law. He gave us 10 commandments. And you know, they all start out with fundamentally respect of the Lord. It's what they all come down to. Respect the Sabbath. In other words, be with me on the seventh day. Don't take my name in vain. It's all about respect of the Lord. The first four are that way. Okay? Respect your parents. And that's not because they're always perfect. It's because your connection to them was ordained by God. That's where you began in life. And somehow you have to build your self-respect out of that relationship. For some people, it's an easy thing because their parents were good parents, respected in the community, good producers. They taught you to do the right thing. They gave you an education, a good start in life, and the list goes on. Other people were abused. And so for those people, recovering from that abuse to recreate self-respect is your journey. But you're still respecting your starting point. That's the key. Your starting point. You are your starting point, and you always will. And you can't take your starting point off somewhere else and say, okay, this is my starting point. You'll never get around the fact that your starting point was what it was. And it may have been very challenging, but that's your challenge. Overcome it, and you will be a giant. Overcome it and you will have service to the world that you were intended to give. But your starting point was your starting point. And that's all that means. It doesn't mean you have to bear up and pay obedience to an abuser. That's not what it means. It's not. God's laws are not stupid. Look for the intelligence in them. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Well, is it wrong to tell somebody, say, look great, to make them feel better when they really look like they stepped out of the hospital yesterday? No, not wrong. No, because you didn't. You didn't implement a deception to change a circumstance. You didn't alter reality. You didn't alter reality. You just helped someone recover their reality because their reality to them is they do look good when they're being themselves. You help them to be themselves, and that's the truth. You've got to get beyond the word game and go for the truth. It means that deception should never be a systemic contagion where one deception leads to another, to another, to a counter deception, and pretty soon nobody even knows what reality is. That's what that means. It means you don't engage in deception that dishonors and disrespects reality. Okay, well, I'll let you finish on your own because we've got to get into our blessing. But I wanted to carry this into another degree just so that you're set up to take this fourth dimension of intelligence, which is respect. It begins with respect of God. It transitions into respect of yourself. It moves into respect of reality, which you're going to look at next time. Okay? And it helps you to make sense out of life. Well, we're going to close for now. And Nancy, just open our board. If anybody's got some potent contributions or a blessing to ask, we're here for you.
We sure are. So come on. We're happy to have you. Welcome, everybody. There's a good number of us here today, and it's pretty wonderful. So we'd love to hear from you. We do have some time. Before anybody comes on, I will ask a blessing for my Leo, who does turn 30 tomorrow. I can't believe my baby's 30. But I will say he's an extraordinary young man who has taught me a lot about life and love and kindness. He's so kind, and he has, even since a little boy, he was the least judgmental person I've ever known, and he just has an innocent perception about him that's just, I don't know where he came from.
you know what that means? What that means, Nancy, is I have known you more than 30 years. I remember right after I met you, we met for lunch. And Leo had a little chair seat. He was a baby in a chair seat in the restaurant.
Is that crazy? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
He's 30.
That means we've probably known each other for 31 years. Holy
cow. Is that something? I know. And we're still so young.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
Well, it is great. So honor all those wonderful children and grandchildren out there today. They do represent life and the living, that's for sure. So, gosh,
yes,
Glenda, what a message. So I think everybody's just at this level of absorbing and just in celebration so that they can take it in. You know, it's wonderful
we
understand
got this recorded. So you can come back and listen to it or share it with your friends, you know. That's why we record it, so that the message will not be lost. And
isn't that what he said? You know, he didn't want the messenger to be crammed down people's throat. It was more the message, and that. But they would always seek out the messenger. And so it's so good that, you know, we can really receive now fully what he was trying to say to everyone so many years ago. So thank you.
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh, my goodness.
Wonderful.
Yes, I love offering this. It's just great. And I also love the fact that so many people are using the email line to request their blessings. And it's really good for you also, guys and gals, because you get to explain your need to me privately and go in detail if you need to, without exposing everything that's in your heart to a community or a public airing. You know, sometimes these are very sensitive points. So I'll repeat it again. It is askablessing@christblessing.org. Okay?
Yes.
There's askablessing@christblessing.org.
And it looks like we have someone coming on. We have Ken, and before he comes online, I do want to mention, it just came into my heart, I remember a long time ago, Glenda, we were studying the six-pointed star and the, you know, just the intelligence there. And it ties so beautifully with everything you said today, because it's all these pieces of love and spirit and, you know, purpose in life. And then, so it's just a wild thing to just think, gosh, I could spend my whole life, understanding that star, because we're meant to understand it. And, I encourage everybody, if they want to dip into God and reality, in tandem with the heart, there's just all these beautiful connections. So, let me open.
That's a good reference.
It's so good, and it just empowers everything about the heart, you know?
It does.
I'm going to open Ken's line. Hi, Ken. We're glad you're here today.
Well, hello, folks. Hi, Glenda. Hey, Nancy. This is, every time I jump on, it's like you guys have hit it out of the park. It's just absolutely amazing. But it was interesting. You know, this topic you're covering today is just so vitally important to understand all of kind of like the truly inner fundamental intelligences of spirit, of life, and of the universe and everything. And I definitely will take a look at your class on the 12 laws. And it was just really interesting. This last weekend I had just an amazing opportunity to attend an Indigenous Peoples Day celebratory event and ceremony. It was basically a three-day ceremony, which was just absolutely mind-blowing. And I think the thing that came out of it, and the reason why I'm kind of sharing that now, is no matter where you come from in any spiritual tradition, the laws are the same, the principles are the same, the fundamental mechanisms are identical. And, And so when I look at any spiritual principle, it's what is that energetic reality inside of me that I feel that is coming from the point of my creation and also expressed everywhere in nature. And it has nothing to do with words. It has nothing to do with ideology, but it's all about what is the thing that allows all of us and everything around us to truly propagate in happiness, in bliss, in joy, in prosperity, and all the other different things around it. And everything else is just kind of like a distortion.
Yeah, it is. I think that's why animals are usually happier than we are, because they don't use words.
Yeah.
Meaning they can't misinterpret them. They just look at the world with innocent perception and get on with it.
Well, in a lot of ways, I feel like that words were the first place, the way I see words and language, is the first place where our minds were fractured and where we assumed that we had to have this other facsimile to represent reality as opposed to just transmitting reality directly with the people around us. And then it just gets layers and layers and layers and layers and layers deeper. And we say, oh, this is intelligence. And it's like, no, I don't think so.
Not exactly.
Exactly. So I just wanted to share that and thank you for everything. And maybe just a quick blessing to some friends of mine, Maria, her son Jonathan, and a good friend Ann.
Okay, we've got it. I wrote them down, and we've got a long list of blessings today, which includes, of course, still the people recovering from Hurricane Helene and Milton, all through the Florida region. People are still in high distress. And the Carolinas and along the eastern seaboard in that range of settlements that people are still, it's still flooding in many places. You know, people are still traveling in boats where they used to be able to drive cars. So they are in our prayers for emotional and mental strength spiritual strength and assistance to their recovery from those who are stronger and have money to share and time to offer as a charitable contribution. So
maybe if I could offer one more too, and that would be for a lot of the truth and the distortion of the world to be revealed peacefully, cooperatively, and in a way where honor can be served. I think that would be good. And that would, I think the North Carolina entire area, there's a lot of misinformation taking place down there. And I think that it's time that as the public that we start learning about these things.
That who starts worrying?
The public in the United States of America and the world, we just start realizing that there's been a tremendous amount of distortion in the world and it's time for this to get revealed.
Absolutely. Okay. And about many peoples of the world, Ken. It's not, you know, the thing is when a tragedy of this magnitude happens to people in any area of the world, that's when our attention goes to it. Well, the tragedy is bad enough in itself, but let's turn it at least into the blessing of we're here. Let's learn about these people.
Yes.
Let's take them into our life and our hearts and let's help them do better in life.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, Ken.
Yep.
All right. Well, it looks like our board is free. So I'm going to take us into our okay. Well, let's get ready. I'd like you just to stretch your precious body, okay, your legs, your arms, everything that moves. Make it move right now, okay, and stretch it out. Be flexible, open, and receiving, because that's how you will be able to most graciously open and receive the blessings of Christ. He's here for you. He always is. But we're not always in a state of mind to be open for Him. So this is your special time to do it, not just for yourself, but along with others, sharing the moment with you. So here we go. Let's stretch and let's take some very deep breaths and just clean your lungs out. Okay. I won't go through the whole routine like today because we are running a little late. But patience on the Lord has its rewards. So just do what you need to do to make yourself relaxed and comfortable and open. I will offer my invocation to Yeshua, and that will be followed quietly by your prayer, directing His blessings to your special needs. The blessing givers will join me in conducting the special energy of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does come to us in an energetic form. The first time He ever came to the apostles, it is written in the Bible, there were flames on their shoulders. It was that powerful. Well, you're not going to probably have flames on your shoulders, but you may feel the vibe because there is definitely a vibe. My late husband used to talk about this when he would conduct. We're continuing his work in the church because his special work in the church was to have sessions where he conducted the Holy Spirit for the revelation of truth and blessings to people. So he would talk about the energetic feeling that actually goes through your body, from the top to the bottom, through the earth, back from the earth, through the body, and out the top of your head. It goes back and forth many, many times, faster than the speed of light, which is why we usually don't catch it, why we usually don't feel it as a specific vibration. But it's there. So be ready for it. Be ready to receive. And once you have received it, I want you to lie down any place that's convenient to you where you can be horizontal. That's the key, is you've got to be A, relaxed, and B, horizontal, because you don't want any particular part of your body to be above or more important than any other thing, or a place where any energy could pool or drain. You just want to be horizontal and let God give you a sublime massage and allow his mark to be laid upon you and allow him to write upon your body and your life like a whiteboard with a golden pen. And you will take that away with you to absorb and connect with your life in the days ahead. So let us begin. Dear Yeshua, I offer my prayer to you on behalf of all that are gathered here today to receive your blessing, and everyone they love for whom they seek blessings, including the world in its entirety. For we include everyone in our prayer, that you may touch them all, even if they don't know to pray or don't even think that your blessings are possible. The fact is, you are the giver and you give without condition. So we ask on their behalf, especially we ask for the children. And we ask for those who are suffering with injuries or sickness in hospitals or in other beds where they need to be served. We ask for those who are passing to a higher ground that they be welcomed and know that they're leaving behind a world that is releasing them to better and more wonderful places for their fulfillment. We ask that you join us all in love, that we may celebrate the power of love in whatever ways we know it to be the miracle within humanity. As we love one another, love will come to create the life that joins us. We ask for that and all your blessings always. We thank you for being here with us and being the strength and the light in the night for each one who has come to ask for your blessing. We thank you for the life of Eva Hershey. And we're so glad that she's beside you today. And we know that she will join us in offering the blessing. Welcome to the blessing, Eva, from heavenly places. And we extend that welcome to all members of our church who have come and gone to high ground. We know you're with us and you're in our hearts forever. To those who couldn't be here today, we know that your heart is with us and we include you in the blessing. In your precious name, we ask all of these things of our mighty, almighty, and gracious Father. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me now in conducting a blessing, the energy of the blessing?
your blessing has been given. Amen. Amen. And amen. Now it's time for you to go lie down and just finish receiving. May God be with you. I wish you to have a blessed week. And I love to see your name back on the board next week to receive more blessings from God. Bye-bye for now. God be with you.